Blog Talk Radio. Matovu, Matovu. Matovu, Matovu.
Hallelujah. In the name of thy Son, Yahushua HaMashiach, our Savior, our Redeemer, our Brother, and our soon coming King. We give you thanks, praise, glory, and honor for allowing us to see another day. More importantly, Father, allowing us to see another Shabbat, another time for us to come together and commune with you, Father. We thank you for this time that you have set apart for us. We ask, Father, that you forgive us for all our sins that we've done knowingly and unknowingly, Father. We thank you, Father, for all the trials and tribulations and the things that we learned this week, Father. We thank you for allowing us to grow with you and allowing us to go through those things that we may be better sons and daughters and understand you more, Father. Father, we ask that when we go to the left or to the right, Father, that you continue to chastise us in your loving kindness and continue to grow us. Because we know we're going to make mistakes, Father. We ask that you just forgive us for our mistakes and let us learn from our mistakes and become better people, better sons, better daughters, better servants, Father. We ask, Father, that you continue to protect us as we go out into this world, protect our brothers and our sisters who are on their way, protect those who couldn't make it today, Father. Open our hearts and open our minds to your word. Plant the seeds and grow the seeds that you need to grow within each individual, Father. Strengthen us where we're weak. Show us the right way when we go to the left or to the right, Father, and just keep us as the apple of your eye. In Yahushua's name, we ask all these things, give you praise, glory, and honor. To you, Yahweh, our mighty one, King of the universe, who has chosen good prophets and was pleased with their words that were uttered with truth. Blessed to you, Yahweh, who chooses the Torah, Moshe his servant, Israel his nation, and the prophets of truth and righteousness. Amen.
Amen.
Kol Shavah, Israel. Shabbat Shalom, family. Hope everybody had a great week. And if you didn't, Abba got us. So, I was listening to Cameo old song, Why Have I Lost You? And it starts over at, today we're going to, let's talk about loneliness. So that's what we're going to talk about today, loneliness. You know, I was just sitting up there thinking about it, you know, because with me, I listen to a lot of music, and there's a song for everything, literally. No matter what you're going through, there's a song. Somebody that wrote a song about something that you're going through, you know, especially in, like, the older music. And, you know, when you look at the Psalms, that's what it's talking about. You know, people were going through situations, and they wrote about it. You know, the Psalms of David, the Songs of Asaph, and, you know, the Psalms that we see, the Tehillim, that we see within the Word. So people discussed the things that they were going through. And one of the things that people go through is being lonely. You know, over the past couple months, you didn't hear a couple of the Morays, including myself, talk about being lonely, you know, when they were teaching. And, you know, that was something that the Most High put on my heart to really talk about, you know, because it's a reason why we feel this way. It's a reason why you go through these things. And, you know, for me, as I keep on walking, you know, it's two things that Paul wrote that in my mind is like really key scriptures. And the first thing that he wrote is Romans 15:4. So let's go there. And this is stuff that we write all the time. We read all the time, you know, but when you really think about the stuff that he was talking about in this, he says, for whatsoever things, Romans 15:4, for whatsoever things were written aforetime, written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. So all these things that was written down were written for our learning, the good and the bad. And I think that's something that we cannot forget. You know, that's one of my key scriptures, that the good and the bad is for our learning. And then you couple that with Romans 8:28. And that reads, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love Elohim, to them who are called according to his purpose. So that's the good and the bad. You know, the things that were written aforetime and the things that are working within us, all these things are working according to the will of the Most High to bring us to a certain reality that he needs from each and one of us, each and every one of us. The stuff that the Most High reveals to me is for me to tell y'all. Like, loneliness for me is one thing. It might be something different for another brother. It might be different for another brother. But as we speak and experience these things and tell people about them, you get a better picture of it, you know? Because the same way, like, somebody asked me about a pear. You say, well, what's the difference between these pears up here? And, you know, at my store, we sell three different types of pears. We have an Anjou pear, a Bosch pear, and a Bartlett pear. For me, all pears taste the same. You know, that's for me. It's three different types of pears. But for me, all those pears taste the same. but I'm not a pair person. Somebody who is into pairs can tell the slight differences between the three. Now, with me, all apples don't taste the same. Like I was telling my brother about the Smitten apple. The Smitten, to me, is the best-tasting apple because it tastes how I picture an apple should taste. It has a appley taste. It's not too sweet. It's not too bitter. You know, it tastes like an apple, you know, where a Gala tastes like an apple too, but it don't taste like a snit. You know, for me, I could tell the difference between those apples, but I might not be able to, I can't tell the difference between a pear. To me, a pear tastes like a pear. I don't care what type of pear it is, it's a pear. But like I say, for me, loneliness might be one thing that y'all don't get, but it might be something totally different for this brother and this brother. And as we bring those experiences together, then you get a better picture of what loneliness is, you know, and how it can affect different people and what we're supposed to get from it, you know, because that, when you think about loneliness, right, there's a term that we use that is real prevalent in the world today called independence or independent. You know, everybody wants to be independent. Don't want to depend on anybody for anything. I got to do it myself or this, that, and another. But we are not designed that way. You know, the design of the Most High is for everything to be interdependent. You know, where one thing functions off another, the other functions off the other, and this whole system fuels itself by the dependence on another thing. For example, in Howard County, I know I used to do merchandising. They have a real bad deer problem out there. So what they do is they have hunting season. You know, they open up a little hunting season a little bit longer out there so they can kill off some of the deers, because the deers were actually eating up a lot of the foliage out there, which would cause a lot of the crops not to grow. Some stuff wasn't going to get pollinated because there's not enough flowers and bees and stuff like that to pollinate. You know, so in order to stem one problem from getting out of hand, because you have an overpopulation of one thing, we got to quell this problem, and now the balance is restored. You know, we can't have, like within the city, we have a rat problem. So every so often they throw the stuff down. Well, you know, the rat killer, rat poison, this, that, and another. Well, the rat poison kills the rats. They out in the street. The seagulls see the rat. They come down, eat the rat. Then the seagulls take the stuff out there, drop it into the sea. The fish get fed. That's how this system is. But we're taught to be opposite of it, you know. We're taught to go against the flow of the Most High, which is cool. It's dysfunctional. But at the same time, we're still supposed to learn something like that. So learn something from independence or a separated state, you know. So let's look at the book of Genesis. We're going to start in chapter 2. Any questions so far? Comments about anything? All right. We'll start at verse 15. Genesis 2:15. And Yahweh, Elohim, took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and keep it. And Yahweh, Elohim, commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. And Yahweh Elohim said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him an helpmeet for him. Now, this term, alone, in the Hebrew is number 905. And this is the term bod. And it means, it's a parent root. It means properly separation by implication, a part of the body, branch of a tree, bar for carrying, figuratively chief of the city, especially with the prepositional prefix as, adverbially apart, only, and besides. So when you think about this term, bod, and how it's used, that's what we're going to look at, a couple of ways that this term is used. He says, it's not good for this man to be bod, separated. Now, when you think about the two levers that's used, it's the bet and the dollar, right? Say again, up. House and the door. So that's what you have here when he's talking about a separation. You have the house and you have the door. So what happens when you close the door to in a house? Now you have a room. And that's how we separate different compartments of the house, you know? So you have the house and it's open. You go to the bathroom, you shut the door. So now the bathroom is separated from the rest of the house. You know, your front door, your back door. So that's what's going on when he's talking about it's not good, right? When the house is separated, right? Because you have a free-flowing thing going on within this house. Everything within the house interacts with one another, right? You know, the parents interact with the kids interact with the dogs and the cats and whatever. You know, you have this interaction within the house, but now you have a separation. And now what normally goes on and when a house is separated, when you close the door in the house, you know, you're either using the bathroom. I know in my house, when my mother and my father would be arguing, they shut the door. You know, they would go upstairs and they would argue and they would shut the door because this is something they wanted to keep away from the rest of the house, even though it was something dysfunctional going on within the house. See, but the words say it's not good for this man to be alone. It shouldn't be a separation within his house, you know? So let's look at the first couple times this way this thing is used. But remember, the good and the bad we are looking at, right, that we're supposed to learn from. So when he made that man, he put him there. Not good for this man to be alone. In Genesis 32. And we're going to start at verse 19. Now, this is a thing that's going on with Jacob. This is when Jacob was coming back. He just left Laban's house, and Esau heard that he was coming, and Esau is on his way to meet him. So this is him separating, getting ready to separate his family up, his cattle up, and this, that, and another. So in verse 19, he says, in verse 19, it says, and so commanded he the second and the third, and all that followed the drove, saying, on this manner shall you speak unto Esau when you find him. Verse 20, and say ye, moreover, behold, thy servant Jacob is behind us, for he said, I will appease him with the present that goeth before me, and afterward I will see his face, peradventure he will accept of me. So went the present over before him, and himself lodged that night in the company. And he rose up that night and took his two wives and his two women servants and his 11 sons and passed over the ford Jabbok. And he took them and sent them over the brook and sent over that he had not. So right now he's separating himself from everything because he sent forth the presence. Now he's sending forth his kids. And verse 24, and Jacob was left alone. So now, again, this is our word again in the Hebrew. Jacob was left alone, and there he wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. So we know this is the time when he wrestled that angel, right? But it says that he was left alone. But the Most High said, it's not good for this man to be in this state, this alone state. So you find that at that time, he was alone because he was separated from everybody, but he wasn't really alone because there was someone else there with him. He can't wrestle himself, you know. It's happened to be an angelic being there that he wrestled with until the morning. And what happened? He wrestled with this angel, and eventually he got the angel to bless him, right? So he wasn't alone. The angel just appeared and showed himself there, right? So he wasn't alone because it's not good for this man to be in this state. So you find out he wasn't alone. Now, that was a good thing for Jacob. But on the flip side, you got other angels who don't leave you alone either, right? So sometimes when you're in that separated state, you have that good connotation where the blessing might come. But then again, on the flip side, you got that evil connotation where those other angels might bother you when you're in that state, you know, when you're in this separated state, right? Any questions or comments? All right. Let's look at another one. Oops. Wrong button. In Genesis. I'm sorry, not Genesis. In Exodus, chapter 18. Now, is and we're going to start when starting verse 12. Exodus chapter 18, starting at verse 12. Now, this is when Jethro go visited and the advice that he gave him, right? So Exodus chapter 18, starting at verse 12, it says, and Jethro, Moshe's father-in-law, took a burnt offering and sacrifices for Elohim. And Aaron came and all the elders of Israel to eat bread with Moshe's father-in-law before Elohim. And it came to pass on the morrow that Moshe sat to judge the people. And the people stood by Moshe from morning unto evening. And when Moshe's father-in-law saw all that he did to the people, he said, what is this thing that thou doest to the people? Why sittest thou thyself alone, and all the people stand by thee from morning unto evening? Again, the word alone, right? Is our word again. But, so, in this case, you have Moshe, who is in a separated state from the people, right? Because the people are coming to him to find out the word of the Most High. He has to make judgments, and he has to do this by himself. But what did Jethro say? Not good, right? Because no matter what we try to do by ourselves, it's not a good thing. We're not designed to be that thing. We're not It's not for us. We can't reproduce by ourselves. We cannot function the way the Most High designed us to function without interdependence, right? So when we try to do things by ourselves, that's why a lot of times it's imperative that, one, we keep the relationships good, you know, between brother, sister, sister, brother, 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 everything. Those, that relationship, that house has to stay in an undivided state, right? So we can reach, we shouldn't have no problem reaching out and asking a brother for help, asking a sister for help. We shouldn't have no issues there. You know what I'm saying? Shouldn't ever be no issues like that, right? Because we shouldn't have to ever go at anything alone. So again, Moshe's father says, look, what you doing? Standing here and you're doing this for this people, right? Verse 15, he says, and Moshe said unto his father-in-law, because the people come unto me to inquire of Elohim. And when they have a matter, they come unto me. And I judge between one and another, and I do make them know the statutes of Elohim and his laws. And Moshe's father-in-law said unto him, the thing that thou doest is not good. Thou wilt surely wear away. You hear that? When you're by yourself and you're trying to take on all these burdens by yourself, guess what? You're going to wear away, surely. That's why you have to call a brother. That's why you have to call a sister. That's what we're here for. We're here for support, right? He says, that will surely wear away, both you and this people. So not only are you going to wear yourself out, you're going to wear out the people around you, because you get cranky, and now you're taking your crankiness out on others, and now others don't want to be around you because you're cranky and you don't know how to act, because that's what we say about folks. They don't know how to act right now, you know, and it causes a separation, right? He says, that will surely wear away both you and this people that is with thee, for this thing is too heavy for thee. Thou art not able to perform it thyself alone. And again, there's our word again. Alone. God, you can't do it. You cannot do this in a separated state. So we all know the rest of the story. He gets that advice and what? Look, let's read the rest of the story. What did he say? 19, he says, hearken now unto my voice, and I will give thee counsel, and Elohim shall be with thee. Be thou for the people to Godward, that thou mayest bring the causes unto Elohim, and thou shalt teach them ordinances and laws, and shall show them the way wherein they must walk, and the work that they must do. In other words, go recruit some people. Go get some help. Because as long as you're trying to do this and take on this task by yourself, you're not going to win. So go help. Go get some help. You can't. You're going up all from the time the sun rises to the time the sun sets. You're making judgments. They're bringing problems to you and this, that, and another. I mean, you need a break too. That's the truth of the matter. You need a break too. Right? Any questions or comments so far? All right. All right. What's that one? All right. So, let's look at the book of Daniel, chapter 10. All right, and we're going to start at, let's just start at verse 1. Daniel chapter 10, verse 1. Says, in the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a thing was revealed unto Daniel, whose name was called Belteshazzar. And the thing was true, and the time appointed was long, and he understood the thing and had understanding of the vision. In those days, I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. I ate no pleasant bread, neither came flesh nor wine in my mouth, neither did I anoint myself at all till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. And in the 24th day of the first month, as I was by the side of the great river, which is Hiddekel, then I lifted my eyes and looked, and behold, a certain man clothed in linen, whose loins were girded with fine gold of Uphaz. His body also was like the beryl, and his face as the appearance of lightning, and his eyes as lamps of fire, and his arms and his feet like a color of polished brass, and the voice of his words like the multitude, And I, Daniel, alone saw the vision. Again, that's our word. And I, Daniel, alone saw the vision, for the men that were with me saw not the vision. So, again, state that Daniel was in, he was able to see this man who looked like nobody I ever seen in my life, right? But he was with somebody, and they weren't able to see him. Why? He was in a separated state, much like Moshe was, you know? He was in a separated state where he was able to see something that these men couldn't, right? He says, and I, Daniel, alone saw the vision, for the men that were with me saw not the vision, but a great quaking fell upon them, so that they fled to hide themselves. But they knew something was there, even though they couldn't see it. They knew something was there. Verse 8, therefore I was left alone and saw this great vision, and there remained no strength in me, for my comeliness was turned in me into corruption, and I retained not strength. In other words, I was shook. This vision had me shook. I had no strength in me. But understand what happened with Daniel. One, he fasted for 3 weeks, which put him in a separated state from everybody else. Because why? I am now dedicating this portion. It's like the ascending offering. You know, how we learned about the sacrifice, and the very first sacrifice you had to do was that whole sacrifice, which was the ascending offering, which brought you into a higher state or closer to the Mighty One, so to speak, for lack of a better term, because you're literally rising up, you know, like that smoke rises up. Your mind elevation is rising up. So that's what that fast did. It brought this flesh down, but it brought that spirit up, where he was able to see something that other men could not see, right? But they felt it, and it put him in this state, right? But look what he got in this state. He got verse 9. Yet heard I the voice of his words. And when I heard the voice of his words, then was I in a deep sleep on my face towards the ground. And behold, a hand touched me, which set me upon my knees and upon my palms, and upon the palms of my hands. And he said unto me, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak unto thee, and stand upright. For unto thee am I now sent. And when he heard this, and when he had spoken this word unto me, I stood trembling. So because he was in this separated state, again, the word is still, that's the same word, but the good and the bad, you know. So he was in the separated state, and what happened? The Most High sent a message to him telling him how greatly beloved he was, you know, because he was in this separated state, you know. So what's the point of this? You know, when I was sitting there thinking, when you think about loneliness, and why we feel lonely. Why are we feeling that way? You know, what's really going on with us? What is the Most High trying to show us or teach us when we're feeling lonely or when we're feeling depressed or when we're feeling all these negative emotions? What is he trying to show us? What is he trying to get through to us? You know, and what I come to find out is that this is part of our training. How are we going to fight something that we never experienced? How are we going to wage war against an enemy that we have no intel on, no experience fighting, or no facts, nothing. Before America goes to war, and we war with everybody, we get as much information as we can on the particular enemy that we create, you know. And we go in and we give, we do the whole pro and quo, we do the whole propaganda, we do everything we can and gather as much information as we can on the enemy to make the battle feasible. Then we look at our analysis and say, well, can we beat these people? How many men will it take to beat these people? Do we have to send in the whole army? Can we get in with a small cell of people? Is gathering intel. And for us, because everything is written for our learning and because everything works for the good of us, what we're doing right now is gathering intel. You know, when we go through these battles, when loneliness comes up on us, how do we combat that if we never experienced it? What do you combat loneliness with? You know? Okay, cool. So when you're feeling joyful, how does the enemy combat the joy you feel? Because he understands joy. He's full of wisdom, the word says. Right? He's topped off on wisdom. You can't drop another drop of wisdom in him. His wisdom is capped, you know. So what the Most High has to do is get us on an equal playing field, right? Because the Word talks about how wise Daniel was in Ezekiel. And he's happened to be talking about Hasatan at the time. So in a way, he was comparing Hasatan's wisdom to Daniel's wisdom. Daniel was a man. You understand what I'm saying? The Most High can elevate us to a spot, and that's what he wants us to do. But in order for him to get us there, we have to experience the good and the bad. Amen. And a lot of times when we go through the bad, see, this is what we do. We go through the bad, and we concentrate on the bad. We concentrate on the situation. And that's why we stay in the situation a lot longer than we have to be. Instead of us starting to reverse that situation. You know, you understand what I'm saying? Instead of us, see, we dwell on things because we are creatures of routine. So when bad things start happening, you start off having a bad day, and you then on top of that, you go to work, and you're already in a bad mood, and like all this bad stuff can happen to you. Now you're at work, you say, oh my goodness, I'm going to have a bad day at work. And guess what? You have a bad day at work because you're not doing anything to combat the effects of the bad. So when you're feeling lonely, why aren't you doing anything to combat the effects of the loneliness? You know, when you're not feeling, if you're feeling lonely, call a brother, call a sister, put something on that's going to reverse that, put a comedy on, do something that you enjoy. You have to, because these are spirits that's coming after you. Loneliness is a spirit. Depression is a spirit. Joy is a spirit. Happiness is a spirit. See, when we look at these, it says the fruits of the spirit, right? Joy, happiness, long-suffering, all these things are spirits that come upon us. Well, if they're spirits, then the opposites are spirits too. Yeah. You know? Loneliness, depression, anxiety, all these different, they're spirits that come upon you. So if one is there, the other one's there. But which one's, but, hold on, Paul wrote this thing. He says, goodness. Oh, Galatians 5:17. There it is. Sorry. Had to look it up. He says, let's start at 16. He says, this I say then, Galatians 5:16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. So, feeling bad, that flesh is overwhelming. So that means you have to do something within to get this Spirit to war up against it, right? Because it's already a war going on. But right now, you're siding with the flesh. That's why you're feeling the way that you're feeling, because you're siding with your flesh. You're siding with things that are contrary to the Most High, right? We all make choices, and in that's what it's about. We all make choices. So you're siding with the flesh. So, and now you're not feeling all this well. So now you have to start siding with the Most High in order to get out of the state that you're in, you know? You have to stop feeding that spirit that's saying, I feel so alone, I feel this, that, and that. You feel alone, get around some people so you won't be lonely, because you're never alone. The truth of the matter is, we are never alone. We read about when Jacob was separated, it was an angel there. You're never alone. When Moshe was separated from the people, Jethro, in other words, his father's name also, Reuel, friend of the mighty Lord, came and gave him some advice, which took a burden off of him, because that's what it's about. We got to relieve these burdens. See, if we relieve these burdens, then it's easier to operate within those fruits of the spirit. That's it. It's easier to do that when you relieve these burdens. When you sitting up here and if you're down and you stay down and you constantly stay down, guess what? Hasatan's just going to keep on throwing weight right on top. So you never can get up. I'm just, I don't feel good. And you go down and, my cat died. Oh, my goodness, my goldfish died. And you're just buried under stuff, because that's what he's trying to do. He's trying to bury you under the weight of all this negativity. So you never, ever get up. Some people actually, stock market crash. People killed themselves, jumped out of windows, because they did not want to be buried under debt and be poor and go through the rigors of everyday life, you know? Because they were used to a certain state of this, that, and enough, so I'd rather die. That was the choice they made, you know? And that's what Hasatan is trying to do, trying to get you to a point where you just say, that's it, I give up, I can't take it no more, you know? But we're never alone, you know? If these spirits come upon you, you have to fight them off. You have to start doing something outside of what you're doing, because if what you're doing is causing you to feel lonely, then you gotta change something up. You gotta change it up. If what you're doing is causing you to be depressed, change what you're doing. Change the people you're around, because a lot of times you can be around a room full of people and everybody ignoring you. So yeah, you're just like this. You know, you're like that person, the third wheel, they call it. you know, where you're not, it's 100 people around, but you just, you know, you have to change that up. You have to change up, change your thoughts, change your actions, change everything about you that's going to get you out that state. Because if you're not, all these things are just going to come out. There's a lady on my job every day. She comes in, and I mean, she is depressed every day. She's just moping, and you see it all over her, all over her. And every day she's like that, you know. And I said, "Dang," I told her. I said, "One day, look, I need you to smile. Dude, at least do that. Just smile. You know, do something to get you out of this state. Do something." I don't know what's going on in your home life. I really don't. I don't know why you're like that, but you have to do something to get you out of that. Because every time I see her, I get gloomy. I'm like, "Hey, how you doing? Just keep it moving." Because I can't. I don't want to get like that. You know, that stuff is infectious. You know, those things are infectious. But we said all that to say this. The book of John. Chapter 14, starting at verse 12. Oop, wrong button. He says, it's Yahushua we're talking. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. If ye love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that ye may abide with you forever, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye knoweth him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you." So Yahushua from the jump said, "Look, I got to go, but I'm telling my Father to give you another comforter, which is the Spirit of truth," right? Verse 18, "I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you." This word, comfortless, in the Greek, number 3737, orphanos, is where we get our orphan from, right? It means of uncertain affinity, bereaved, orphan, that is parentless. I'm not going to leave you in a parentless state, right? We all have kids. You don't have kids, you shake your head, she shook her head. You don't have kids, you got nieces, nephews, you got children that you love. How would a child... What's going through a child's mind if they don't get the love of their parents? Because that's the first love they're supposed to experience, is the love of their parents. How does a child feel when they feel unloved? What's going on with them? How would they react? These are the kids that in school are the class clowns a lot of times, but they're trying to do stuff to make up for the love or the attention that they're not getting at home. They might be fighting all the time. They lash out. They don't do normal stuff because there's something missing, you know. There's something missing, you know. Me personally, you know, I did a lot of stuff because Pops wasn't there, and I was missing my father, you know. So I lashed out. I did all kinds of crazy crap, you know. But it was a boy missing his father. Because Pops wasn't there. You know, when that's a hard thing to deal with as a child, you know, and that's a weight that a lot of times a child doesn't overcome, you know. it starts them down a path that's easy for them to get into because they're feeling unloved. They're feeling really alone. So that's what a child who's orphaned, they're alone. They are alone. But Yahushua said, I'm not going to leave you like that. You'll never be in that state. You don't ever have to feel that way. You have another comforter. When I was here on this earth, by telling the dean, they might have gotten to a little ruckus. They might have felt certain ways of this, that, and another. The people out there was hungry. Guess what? If someone needs to be comforted, give me some fish. Give me some loaves. I got y'all. I'm going to satisfy your needs any way that I can, right? Because that's what a parent does, right? And him being the creator, that's what he did. He is a good creator. He's a good parent. Even to this day, I don't deal with you according to your sins. That's what he said. I don't deal with you according to your sins, because if I did, I had to wipe all y'all out. That's what y'all deserve enough. But my mercy is everlasting. You know? So we're never alone in this world. And that's a fact. That's something that, you know, reality is, in this world, is what you feel versus what is. You know? A lot of times, Satan can catch us up on how we feel. But the reality is something different. You know, that's what deception is. You feel like you're alone. But the reality is, you're on a planet where they estimate 7.5 billion people. Every time you turn around, you see somebody else. You know? Not to mention that you have family, you have friends, you have associates, you're never alone. And even outside of that, you have Yahushua, who's with each and every person on this planet if they bothered to listen. But the problem is that Satan got a lock on certain areas of our life. He can make us see and do things that are outside of, let me take that back. He can cause us to make choices that are outside of the Most High. He can present things in a fashion that is smart, masterful, crafty, cunning, however you want to call it. He's mastered that art, you know. But what we feel versus what is, I think, you know, we have to look at that also, you know, because we're never alone. There's no need for us to feel that way. If we get depressed, he gave us tools to fight off these things. We have to use them. He gave us weapons of war. He gave us the sword. He gave us the shield. He gave us the armor and the helmet and everything that we need to defend ourselves, protect ourselves, and attack.
Right.
So why are we losing? Because we get caught up. We're choosing to get caught up in things we shouldn't get caught up in. It's our emotions. At the end of the day, our emotions versus reality. And a lot of times the reality of things, I had a conversation with a guy, one of my boss. I love talking to him. But sometimes, you know, there's things that he just don't think about. So he was talking about we was talking about pedophilia, basically. They was talking about the R. Kelly thing. And he said somebody got a girl pregnant, a young girl pregnant, and the guy said he never touched her. So basically the guy said he ejaculated in a rag and the girl washed up with it and she got pregnant. So I'm sitting up there. I said, well, that probably didn't happen. But the dude, he was telling me, he was like, man, it don't even make sense. He said, you know, the sperm has to swim and it has to do this. Once the air hit it, it's dead. And I'm like, not really, bro. Man, once the air hit it, it's dead. And I said, okay. See, one thing I'm learning not to do is put the one thing I'm learning to do is put those proverbs in effect. Rebuke not a fool. Because they're going to keep on coming with it. But, you know, all in my mind, I'm going, well, why do sperm banks exist? How do you get artificial insemination if once the egg hits the sperm, it, you can't, they freeze this stuff and have it and then impregnate women with it. It's alive. It's still alive once it exits the egg and killing it. You know, but we ain't getting all that. You're right, bro. We go put up these oranges. You know, but it's reality. And, I mean, he was adamant about it, but it's reality. You know, the reality of the thing is sperm banks exist. And that sperm gets there somehow. It has to get through air. You know, you have women with turkey basters who inseminate themselves. So the air ain't killing it quick enough. You know, it's still alive. But it's how you feel versus what is. Now, if you think about that on a spiritual level, you know, and how Hasatan catches us up. God doesn't care. I'm by myself. And you got this thought rolling. You know, and Hasatan keeps that thought rolling. You know, and it's how you're feeling versus reality. Does the Most High care about you? You know, look back in your life and see if the Most High cares about you. What has He done for you? Are you on the Most High's mind? Is He taking you in account? Is He, you know, is this the way you're feeling? Is it lining up with what is? Because if it isn't, then that's something that you need to go through and take account of, you know, because that's how Satan playing on you, and you don't want to get caught up in that. Right? But, brothers and sisters, we're never alone. If you're feeling these things, we have the tools to fight, you know, and that's what the Most High put on my heart and my mind to talk about, you know. Especially with this loneliness, we're never alone. But we experience it so we know how to combat it. And when we talk and we get together, we'll learn even more about it and how to fight it and be even more effective and more efficient in effect. All right? So any questions or comments about anything? Yes, sir.
We got a position last week, like that, and I couldn't think of nothing, but the first came to mind was 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. See, 2 Timothy chapter 1, 7, 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. But he said, God didn't give us the spirit of fear, but love, power, and a sound mind.
Mm-hmm.
That's the verse that's going to dwell on. Everything, you know, I said, different things you're dealing with, because he was saying so much. I feel where I stay at, where he's written, they said, I feel like I don't, the energy. I said, no, that's an unclean spirit.
Mm-hmm.
So he's like, supposedly called me back Thursday. He's like, so, you know, I've been praying for him. And like, so he got the position, so he got more money. So I was praying to Yahweh, like, you know, bless him when he can get his own place. Because he's feeling that way where he's renting this, you know, spot at.
Right.
But I, you know, that's, and that was the burst of saying, like, God didn't give you a spirit of fear. He didn't give none of us a spirit of fear. Like you said, that's the adversary.
That's right.
He gave us a spirit of love, power, and a sound mind. And their fruit, like you said, the fruit of that spirit has all those attributes falling in that umbrella. That's what came to my mind. It was a good lesson. I can share some of that with my stepson when he called me tonight or tomorrow.
That's right. Anybody else? All right. So that ends the Torah portion for today. Next week, we will be talking about embracing who we are. All right. So, Kokun. Blessed are you, Yahweh, King of the universe, Rock of all eternities, righteous in all generations, the trustworthy, mighty one who does, who says and does, speaks and fulfills, and all laws of whose words are true and righteous. Trustworthy are you, Yahweh, our mighty one, and trustworthy are your words. Not one of your words is turned back to its origin unfulfilled, but you are mighty one, trustworthy and compassionate King. Blessed are you, Yahweh, the mighty one who is trustworthy in all his words. Brother Ali, man, closing us out.
Hallelujah.
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 Father, thank you for bringing us all here on your holy Shabbat. See it once again. Thank you for allowing us to fellowship and to praise your name. Protect us this day and allow us all to see the next Shabbat of you in the name of your son, Yahushua HaMashiach. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Well, they build their houses in preparation for the king, and they line the sidewalks with every sort of shiny thing. They will be surprised when they hear him say, take me to the alley, take me to the afflicted ones, take me to the lonely ones that somehow lost their way. Let them hear me say, I am your friend. Come to my table. Rest here in my garden. You will have a fire. Take me to the alley, take me to the afflicted ones, take me to the lonely ones that somehow lost their way. Let them hear me say, I am your friend. Come to my table. Rest here in my garden. You will have a fire. Thank you. me to the afflicted ones. Take me to the lonely ones that somehow lost their way. Let them hear me say, I am your friend. Come to my table. Rest here in my garden. You will have a pardon. You will have a pardon. Take me to the afflicted ones. Take me.